Well, many years ago, when I was at intermediate school, I played the saxophone. And one of my dreams was to be in the North Cross Intermediate School's jazz band. This band was one of the top jazz bands in Auckland for their age group, and they were often competing and winning competitions, as well as touring around doing some pretty epic gigs. Now, something else that happened at North Cross Intermediate School was on Friday afternoons, they did electives. Essentially, you had a smorgasbord of different activities, and you could sign up and do this activity for the entire term. Now, one term I noticed that they had put jazz band as one of the activities. I was slightly intrigued until I noticed that another one of the activities was squash. Now, as much as I love my music, my love of sports was greater. So without thinking, I eagerly signed up for squash. What I didn't realize is that they used the jazz band elective as a way of auditioning people for the actual jazz band. And so the North Cross Intermediate School jazz band was formed from this elective, and Jeremy missed out because he was playing squash. I was gutted. I'd missed my opportunity. A few months passed, and one lunchtime, the jazz band was practicing, and the teacher made the comment that he would really love another tenor saxophone on the band. Well, my best mate was the drummer, and he said to the teacher, "Oh, my mate can play the tenor saxophone really well." Well, next minute, I'm standing in front of the jazz band, and the teacher looks at me and says, "Would you like the opportunity to play tenor saxophone in the jazz band?" I couldn't believe it. My dream was about to come true. But of course, you can't reveal too much excitement. You have to play it real cool. So I just put my hands in my pockets and kind of shrugged my shoulders and said, "Yeah, I guess that would be nice." Well, inside, I was bursting with excitement. The teacher looked at me and he said, "Jeremy, what are you waiting for? Go and get your saxophone and get back here pronto. You have 1 minute." I turned, I walked out of the classroom, shut the door, and I bolted towards my classroom to get my saxophone. In my mind, I had to get back as soon as possible before the jazz teacher changes his mind. I was running as fast as I could down the school corridors, and right at that moment, the strictest teacher in the school walked out of her classroom door, and I ran into her at full speed, completely knocking her to the ground, and her favorite coffee mug flew through the air and smashed into pieces. Mate, she was not happy. I can still picture her getting to her feet, eyeballing me, and through clenched teeth saying to me, "What on earth is your rush, young man?" And knowing that I'd probably just earned myself a week of detentions and missed the opportunity for the jazz band, I just replied to the teacher with a defeated, "I'm sorry, miss. I've just been given the opportunity to play in the jazz band, and the teacher told me to hurry, so I was trying to get back as quickly as possible." To this day, I still cannot believe what happened next. The teacher looked at me and replied, "I see. Well, pick up the large pieces of the mug, put them in the bin, and then you'd better get back to your practice. I'll tidy up the rest." I couldn't believe my luck. And the rest is history. I made it back to practice and as a result became a permanent member of the North Cross Intermediate School Jazz Band. Yep, it was great. It was great. Now, although I was young, it was a time in my life where I had a dream and I was given an opportunity to make my dream a reality. Therefore, I ran as fast as I could to make sure I didn't miss this amazing opportunity. In fact, I ran so fast that it almost got me in a lot of trouble. I wonder, have you ever had a dream and as a result, you've worked as hard as possible to make this dream a reality? I believe we all have dreams. Some dreams are completely unrealistic, like owning a Ferrari on a pastor's salary. That's why I have shoes. It's the closest I'll get. Other dreams are more realistic, like being in the school jazz band or being a homeowner. I'm sure if we went around this room sharing, we would soon discover that there are thousands of different dreams that we all have and that we're working towards. Now, if you're anything like me, then you probably have so many different dreams that it's not possible to achieve them all. Therefore, you tend to prioritize some dreams above other dreams based on their attainability. For example, although it is a dream of mine that Ferrari will phone me up and ask me to be one of their drivers for the Formula One competition, I know that this is not at all a realistic dream. And so I don't give that dream any time or attention. It's way down at the bottom of my list. But the dream to be a good father to my children, that dream is much more realistic. And as a result, I put a lot more time and energy into chasing and fulfilling the dream of being a good dad. So we will all have different dreams, and we'll all be prioritizing our dreams based on their attainability or how important the dreams are to us. The big question becomes, are our dreams in sync with God's dreams? Today we're starting a sermon series called Renew Together, where we focus on God's dream of global missions and reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, for those who might be new to the Baptist movement, Renew Together has three parts or components. The first part is prayer. And over the next 3 weeks, we are really encouraging you to be praying for overseas mission, and in particular, to be praying for our Baptist missionaries who are serving overseas. The second part is that each sermon is going to have a mission focus. And the third part is the challenge to deny ourselves a luxury or comfort that we experience living in a wealthy country not like New Zealand that you might not get if you were going to live in a country of poverty. Some examples of what this might look like is you might deny yourself going to the movies over the next 3 weeks. Maybe you could deny yourself snack food or chocolates. Perhaps you could deny yourself shopping on luxury items that are not a necessity. Now, the self-denial part has two purposes. First, the purpose is to give us a taste of what our Baptist missionaries are experiencing when they leave New Zealand for poverty-stricken countries. And the second purpose is that by denying ourselves luxury items, not only will we get a feel for what our missionaries give up, but we might also save a few dollars. And the idea is that any money saved can be put in a special offering that we're taking up on Sunday, the 3rd of September, and all the money collected in that special offering will be sent overseas to the missionaries who are working overseas, our Baptist missionaries. Now, for myself personally, I often kind of pray and like go, what am I going to do this year? Well, I've decided that because this special offering has been taken on Father's Day, and I know there are dads around the world that go without so that their families can have food, I've said to my family, this Father's Day, don't spend anything on me. Any money you would spend on me, we'll put in the special offering. That's what I want to give up this year. I'm going to give up the celebration of my Father's Day. They can still celebrate me, but do it with words, not with monetary gifts. So have a think about what you could deny yourself over the next 3 weeks and start saving those dollars for the special offering we'll take up on Sunday, the 3rd of September. Now, the passage that they've given us to use for Renew Together is the Great Commission, found in Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20. And before we go any further, let's read that passage out loud. So if you have your Bibles, Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." We began this sermon by talking about chasing different dreams, and I ended with the challenging question, are our dreams in sync with God's dreams? And you could argue that the Great Commission is the ultimate dream of God. Jesus commands us to go and make disciples. Yet if we are honest with ourselves, how seriously do we take this commandment from Jesus? How often do we dream about going out and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with those around us? How much time and energy do we put into the charge of going and making Jesus Christ known? In Matthew 28:19, Jesus is telling us to go, and yet I wonder, are we listening? And this leads to our first point for this morning. Go requires urgency. When my jazz band teacher told me to go and get my saxophone, I was filled with an urgency to make it happen as fast as possible. This is the kind of urgency I believe we need to have when it comes to the kingdom of God. My worry for the church in the West is that for many people, they see their faith in Jesus as something for the future that they will cash in one day when they die. People like this go to church most Sundays. They keep things in check, knowing that sometime in the distant future, they can have confidence in eternal life through Christ Jesus. If we are not careful, we can spend our lives living for the future instead of living for the present. And let me give you an example, true story. I remember hearing a story of a couple who spent their entire lives saving for their retirement. They had stockpiled a heap of wealth and they had plans to travel the world, go on cruises. They'd even brought a caravan so that whenever they were in New Zealand, they'd be able to travel around and explore our beautiful country. Everything was ready and set, and I must say, it was looking like it was going to be an amazing retirement. 2 weeks before the man's retirement, he dropped dead of a heart attack. And I still remember his widow standing on this stage and saying at the funeral, "We spent our whole lives working and saving for retirement, and we never got to do any of the things we had planned." It's a tragic story. And yet I can't help but wonder if we can all find ourselves in the trap of living for the future, forgetting to live in the present. When it comes to the kingdom of God, I feel the danger for Christians in the West is to respond, "Now is not a good time. Life's just a bit crazy at the moment. I'll do something for the kingdom of God later on, sometime in the future." I would respond to that kind of thinking with the statement, "Is there ever going to be a good time?" In fact, when I look to the state of the world, when I see the wars that are taking place, when I see the poverty that exists, when I see the issues around mental health, when I see addictions running rampant, when I see the narrative that our secular culture is trying to preach, I can't help but declare now is actually the best time to take a stand and live for the kingdom of God. We need to get a sense of urgency back. Our faith is not for the future. Our faith is for right here, right now. This is why Jesus taught us to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Jesus wants us to make a difference today. This is what Jesus was getting at in Matthew 25, where he shared the parable of the 10 virgins. 5 of them were prepared and 5 of them were unprepared. The bridegroom arrived at an unexpected time and 5 of the girls were ready. 5 of the girls were not ready and they missed out. The point, we don't know when Jesus will return, and furthermore, we don't know how many days we have left. Living for the future can be dangerous because there are a lot of factors that are outside of our control. Jesus' advice, always be ready. Always be prepared. We need to get a sense of urgency back. Our faith in Jesus should make a difference right here, right now. We need to be living for the kingdom of God today, not waiting for tomorrow. In Matthew 28, Jesus tells us, go. I wonder, how are we going to respond? And that leads nicely to our second point. Go requires obedience. Jesus' final words to his disciples in the book of Matthew shouldn't surprise us. Reading Matthew 28, 19 to 28. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you." If we want to live for the kingdom of God, then like Jesus, we need to go and make disciples. If we want to be obedient to Jesus, then we cannot escape the Great Commission. We need to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with the world around us. And the question that we all need to ask ourselves is, are we going to be obedient to Jesus' command to go and make disciples? I remember when I was 17, I had all these hopes and dreams for the future. The only problem was my hopes and dreams were anchored in what Jim wanted, not what God wanted. I went to youth group one Sunday night, mainly because there was a girl there that I had a huge crush on and I knew she was going to be there on that night. So I went to youth group, and on this particular evening, God really spoke to me. God essentially said, Jeremy, no more sitting on the fence. What is more important, my dreams or your dreams? You're either all in, all out. You can't just sit on the fence and try and live in two different realities. You need to make a decision. And I responded to God and I said, all right, Lord, I'm all in. I'll live for you 100%. God then said to me, okay, good. Then I want you to be a youth pastor. And I went, whoa, 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 whoa. Come on, Lord. No, no, no. Can't I live for you 100% and do something else as a career? Because I don't want to be a pastor. And at that moment, I faced a huge choice. I can't stress this enough. I really didn't want to be a pastor. But at the same time, I wanted to be obedient to God and live for Him. So I obeyed God. Now, the good news for most of you in this room is that God is not going to call everyone to be a pastor or to be a missionary overseas. But God is calling everyone to go and make disciples. I wonder, how are you responding to God's call on your life? Now, when God gives us a call, it can be scary because we can't see the future. We don't know what's going to happen when we step out in obedience and follow God's call on our lives. That's why I believe it's important to draw inspiration from Scripture and remind ourselves of the people that have gone before us that God also called to go. And then these people in Scripture, they responded in faith and they stepped out into the unknown. We can think of people like, oh, Daniel, look at this. This is great. I do have some Old Testament here. Daniel's doing an Old Testament assignment where he looks at how much Old Testament finds its way in the sermons. And I said to Daniel, I don't think today's sermon's got much, but I was wrong. Here we go. We can think of people like Abraham and Sarah and how God called them to go and live in a foreign land. And as a result, the nation of Israel was birthed. We can think of Moses and how God called him to go before Pharaoh and request the release of all the Israelite slaves. And as a result, Israel began their journey from Egypt towards the promised land. We can think of Joshua and how God called him to go and take the promised land. And even though the people dwelling in the promised land looked scary, Israel was able to overcome and take up their new residence. We can think of the Apostle Paul and how God told him to go and preach Christ crucified. And as a result, a heap of churches were planted and a good portion of the New Testament was written. And we can think of Jonah, who was told by God to go and preach to Nineveh. And Jonah learned the hard way why it's important to listen and obey God's call on our lives. I mean, the Jonah story is really why I'm a pastor today. There was no way I was going to risk being disobedient to God. There was no way. I do a lot of water stuff. I didn't want to get eaten by a big fish. Nah, I'm just going to obey God the first time. Thank you. Now, what we need to remember is that for each of these people that God told to go, they had no idea what the future was going to look like. Abraham, Moses, Joshua, the Apostle Paul, Jonah. When God said go, they were stepping out into the unknown. For us today, we can read the Bible and see how their story ended. We go, oh, that's how it ended for them. But when they stepped out in faith, they didn't know how it was going to end. This is what I love about the account of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon told these men that they had to worship the golden statue or else they'd be thrown into the fiery furnace. And the men responded, "No, we will not worship the statue that you have set up. If we are thrown into the furnace, our God can save us." And then they say the words, which are just my favorite. They say, "But even if God does not save us, we will not worship the statue that you have set up." These men didn't know the future. They believed God could save them. They didn't know if God would save them, but they followed God regardless. The one thing that all these stories share is that God said, "Go," and the people obediently followed. Just like the characters in the Bible, we don't need to know the future to step out in faith and be obedient to God. God is saying to us, "Go and make disciples." How are we responding to God's call on our lives? Every day, I believe God gives us an opportunity. If you're a parent, then God has given you an opportunity to go and make disciples of your children. If you're part of a family where some members don't believe, then God has given you an opportunity to go and make disciples of your family members. If you have employment in a secular workplace, then God has given you an opportunity to go and make disciples. If you're a member of a gym or a club or some other type of group, then God has given you an opportunity to go and make disciples. Now, as you go and make disciples, you do need to exercise wisdom and caution. I mean, as an example, if you start Bible bashing people at the workplace, then you might lose your job, and then it's going to be a lot harder for God to use you in the workplace if you're unemployed. At the same time, I don't think we can let that be an excuse to do absolutely nothing. Maybe a good starting question could be, what does it look like to have a bit more urgency in the different places we find ourselves in each and every day? J.D. and Sonali, they have a dental practice in Tower, and the last time I was there, I was talking to Sonali, who was at the reception desk. We always have a good catch-up when I have a dental appointment. Every 6 months, we have a good catch-up. It's great. And on this particular day, I was just talking to her, and I noticed that on her wall, she has the psalm on display for everyone that comes into the practice to see. I thought, what a great little way just to point to God in the workplace. And then I was talking with Dave Peterson about this on Wednesday, and he told me that in a similar way, his office in Petone is just covered with Bible verses. And he constantly has different guys in his office from different faith backgrounds, and he has all these just Bible verses on display. And he said often they'll notice it and they'll start talking about God, and if they go there, then he goes there. And he'll just have a chat with them about God. I mean, these are just a couple of examples that I've heard from our very own people. But I believe that it highlights that we have opportunities each and every day to point people towards God and start that process of making disciples. Jesus is saying to us, go. Are we going to be obedient? And the final point for us this morning is, go requires trust. I believe one of the barriers to responding to God's go and make disciples is that we can often question our own skills and abilities, and sometimes we can even question our own faith. In short, we don't feel like we're the right people for the job. Surely there is someone that is a lot more qualified than me. Again, this is where we need to draw inspiration from characters in the Bible. I mean, Moses had an argument with God because he didn't feel qualified for what God was calling him towards. Jeremiah is another one who responded to God's go with a whole heap of questions and doubts about his own ability. And what is interesting is that in Matthew 28:17, it gives us an intriguing piece of advice about the 11 disciples. It says, when they saw him, they worshipped him, that's Jesus, but some doubted. I find it noteworthy that it specifies that some of the disciples doubted. Now, scholars are divided about what this doubt signifies. Is it the fact that as good monotheistic Jews, they are questioning whether it's okay to worship the person of Jesus Christ? Is it that some are still unsure whether it is the resurrected Jesus standing before them? Or is it that they don't know how to respond to Jesus in this new situation where he's familiar and yet different? To be honest, I don't think it matters. The point is that even the disciples were having doubts or questions about what everything meant. And notice, and this is where we really need to take note. Notice that Jesus doesn't say to them, "I only want those without doubts to go and make disciples." No. Jesus says to all of the 11 disciples, even those who were having doubts and questions, go and make disciples. And that's the point. You don't have to be perfect and have it all together to step out in faith. I mean, yes, we all have faults. Yes, we all have doubts and questions. And yet God is saying to each of us, go. What we need to do is trust God. And instead of being driven by our own doubts and insecurities, we need to be driven forwards by God and his call on our lives. I believe it is for this reason that Matthew ends his book with Jesus' words from Matthew 28:20b, saying, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." As we respond to the go, and as we step out into the unknown, we need to be reminded that Jesus goes with us. Jesus will be with us every step of the journey, and Jesus will guide and strengthen us for the task ahead. So as we come to an end and think about mission, what we need to realize is that God is calling each and every one of us to live for his kingdom right here, right now. God is saying to us, go. And what we need to remember is that go requires urgency, go requires obedience, and go requires trust. God is calling every single one of us to go. I wonder, how are we going to respond to God's call on our lives? Let's allow the greatest prayer in the world to guide us as we step out into our go. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Amen.